high stakes. We're talking $215 million, money in a trust that heiress Abigail Cabana-Nacoa is fighting to control. That was the subject of a court ruling. HPR's Ryan Finnerty was there when the verdict was handed down yesterday. So, Ryan, it was a bit of a mixed bag.
That's right, Catherine. So to outline it, on opposite sides of the courtroom were Abigail Cabana-Nacoa herself. She's the heir to the $215 million fortune from the James Campbell estate, sugar plantation money. And she was joined by her wife, Veronica Gale Worth. And on the other side of the courtroom were board members from the Cabana-Nacoa Foundation, which is the trust that controls that money, and some attorneys representing domestic workers from that estate. Cabana-Nacoa's longtime attorney, James Wright, was named trustee of the trust, and she has since tried to replace him as a controlling member of the trust, and replace him with several other people, including her wife, Veronica Gale Worth. The board members of the foundation have sued to prevent that, saying that there's undue influence on the part of Abigail's wife, and that they're trying to take control of the money that should be used, as they say, to benefit Native Hawaiians. So the central question before the judge, Judge Mark Browning, was whether or not Abigail Cabana-Nacoa is mentally fit to make those decisions, and whether James Wright was allowed to be fired, and should she be allowed to name trustees to control this fortune. And here's what he had to say.
Ms. Cabana-Nacoa did not and does not either at the time of her discharge from the hospital on June 25th, 2017, or presently have the mental capacity to serve as trustee and manage her own financial affairs. The court approves and adopts the findings of the special master that Ms. Cabana-Nacoa does not presently have the mental capacity to serve as trustee of her trust. In applying the standards set forth in Anderson and Lentz, the court finds, one, that the requisite capacity to amend Ms. Cabana-Nacoa's trust depends upon the content and the complexity of the proposed amendment. More complicated amendments require a higher level of capacity, while less complicated amendments may only require testamentary capacity. Ms. Cabana-Nacoa lacks the requisite capacity needed to revoke her trust. Ms. Cabana-Nacoa lacks the requisite capacity to replace the trustee of her trust, but has the capacity, requisite capacity, to remove. The court grants the request to remove Mr. Wright as successor trustee, denies the request that Ms. Cabana-Nacoa be permitted to name her own trustees through her financial capacity. First Hawaiian Bank is appointed successor trustee upon the filing of acceptance of appointment. The special master is directed to contact First Hawaiian Bank to obtain the acceptance appointment to facilitate the transfer of assets from Mr. Wright to the First Hawaiian Bank.
So, Catherine, a lot to unpack there, but to distill it as simply as possible, the judge made a split decision. One of the most complicated aspects of this case is that Hawaii state law does not have a standard for this matter, for the cognitive bar, basically, that one needs to meet to make decisions about a trust. So he had to look at law in other jurisdictions and other states to try and make a decision. And so he decided that there were multiple standards that had to be met for different actions. Basically, it was an acknowledgement that some actions are more complex than others and therefore require a higher standard of mental fitness and mental competency.
So what was the reaction from her attorney?
Michael Lilly was her attorney. Mixed reaction. They were happy that James Wright was removed. That was what they were wanting. But they did not get the other aspect of the case that they wanted, which was for Abigail Cabana-Nacoa to be able to name trustees. And so here's what Michael Lilly had to say.
We're gratified that Mr. Wright has been removed. But what our next steps are, I can't comment. We're disappointed that her trustees weren't approved, but removal of Mr. Wright was the right thing, and we're glad the judge did that. The most important thing has always been Ms. Cabana-Nacoa. This is her estate, her life. She has a loving marriage. She's a private person, and to be put on in the news for a year, to have her personal affairs discussed publicly, has been outrageous and sad. And she really is entitled to be left alone. And so let her leave her alone. She knows what she's doing. So she's very, in my mind, she's very competent.
So, Catherine, there you hear Abigail Kawana-Nakoa's attorney, Michael Lilly, rebuffing the judge's decision that she wasn't fit to do to make some decisions regarding the trust. Next, let's hear from Megan Cao. She was the attorney representing the domestic workers who worked in the home of Abigail Kawana-Nakoa, and they provided testimony to the special master investigating all of this regarding the influence of Veronica Gale Worth, who is Abigail's wife.
I'm ecstatic. I'm shocked. I can't believe it. You know, all the status conferences that we had and the court appearances in between, it sounded like the court was going to go the other way. What he said is that basically she has a little bit of capacity in order to remove a trustee, but not enough capacity to appoint a trustee. And so from here on out, I mean, this decision is so significant, but because from here on out, First Hawaiian Bank will be the trustee of the Abigail Kawana-Nakoa Trust.
So you heard there Megan Cao, attorney on the opposing side, and the judge basically declined to comment extensively on this allegation that there was undue influence from either Abigail's wife or the things that the domestic workers had commented that they had witnessed, instead sticking to the more narrow scope of her cognitive ability. We're also going to hear next from Lilikala Kame'elehiva, who is one of the board members of the foundation, and she was trying to prevent Ms. Kawana-Nakoa from being able to appoint trustees.
I think we're all going to keep our eyes on it, but I trust First Hawaiian Bank to do a good job, actually. Their reputation's at stake, and they've done some good things in the past. So I'm relieved. I just think the most important thing is that the judge has realized that Abigail Kawana-Nakoa needs to be protected, that he's got her best interests at heart. I think I can say for all of us, that was our first and foremost idea and wish, is that she would be protected.
All sides, including the judge, stated that their most important, the most important thing to them was the welfare and the best interests of Abigail Kawana-Nakoa. And although they were opposing each other on multiple points of the case, everybody professes to be looking out for her, despite their opposition to each other.
It's kind of uji. It's sad because she's sitting there and listening to both sides, you know, talk about her and talking about her money.
That was really one of the most striking things about the whole thing, is that while all of these attorneys and different parties are talking about the mental fitness of Abigail, she was sitting right there the entire time, and you could see her visibly grimace on multiple occasions, which was totally understandable. Unclear whether or not she and her attorneys will challenge the ruling. They're going to be meeting with the judge. Both sides will be meeting with the judge in the coming weeks to determine the way forward. But as of right now, a split decision from the judge gave both sides something, and First Hawaiian Bank is now in control of the $215 million estate.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. That was The Conversation's Ryan Finnerty with the latest twist in a long saga involving trust money, some of which were going to benefit Native Hawaiian groups. Playing out like a soap opera, is this the end of it? Stay tuned.